dedicated to each and every one of you who appreciate a great glass of wine. You know what I mean?
It's Monday. Let's raise a glass to the beginning of another week. It's time to unscrew, uncork, or saber a bottle, and let's begin exploring the wine glass. Today, I'm sitting down with a group of wine writer friends for another episode of Wine Writers Wrap Up. It's been a while since we've gotten together, so I figured what better way to welcome a new year than with wine and friends. During the discussion, we give our top wine of 2020, what wines we drank to ring in the new year, and what weird traditions we celebrate to boot the old year out. Because quite honestly, there hasn't been a year we are all happier to see gone than 2020. Wine. Hey everybody, I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program, Sommelier Service, and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all of the socials, as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now's the perfect time to swipe, subscribe, rate, and review. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this episode of Wine Writers Wrap Up. It has been a long, long time since we've gotten together. Damn 2020. Anyway, so I thought new year, let's get right into it and let's have a Wine Writers Wrap Up. And of course, part of this episode is going to be bashing 2020 because, you know, that's all we ever do since. We're into 2021 with bigger and better things, so we'll do a little bashing and then move on. But I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves. So, Maria, you are big screen for me, so I'll let you go first.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Maria from Wine and Cheese Friday. Hi. We are on Twitter, Facebook, all that, and we do wine and cheese reviews. We pair them, we drink them separately, we do all that. A lot of fun with wine and cheese.
It's always good wine and cheese, always good. And you are calling in from?
Costa Rica.
the longest short stay ever.
Yeah, exactly. The entire year, 2020, I've been here.
Wow.
Wow. And it was only supposed to be?
3 months.
Like a month? 3 months, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. That's probably not a bad, that's probably something I wouldn't be bashing 2020 about. That would probably be a good thing in my eyes. All right, Nick, you're up.
Hi, everybody. My name is Nick. I'm Wine Com Guy on Instagram and Twitter. I am a WSET diploma student as well as a wine marketer. I've marketed wine in Argentina, the Pacific Northwest, and now I'm in Napa, California.
And Deb.
I'm Debbie Giaquindo. I'm known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm on all the social media channels. I owned a restaurant in Stone Harbor called Kitchen 330 that we had to close in October. And then in the same month, my husband and I were driving down a road in North Wildwood, and we saw this building that said for sale sign, and it was a restaurant, and it was priced to sell. And we purchased it. And Trio North Wildwood will hopefully open in May, June, the latest. I'm co-host with Lori on Wine for Bet Street, and I'm author of a book, Tapping the Hudson Valley, Day Trips and Weekend Itineraries, Visiting All the Craft Beverages and More in the Hudson Valley.
Awesome. So. And Robin.
Hi, I'm Robin. I'm with Crush Grape Chronicles. My husband and I, Michael, we do wine travel and head to different wine regions, and we travel, we visit with winemakers, we taste wines, we do food and wine pairings, and we do a lot of video work on Crush Grape Chronicles. We're on all the social media channels, but I haven't dove into TikTok, and I don't foresee that in my future. So,
me neither. But,
and we're based out of Las Vegas.
Michael.
Michael Kelly. I thought this was an AA meeting. I got here by mistake. So I write for my own site, California Wines and Wineries. I put on the Cab Franc wine competition each year. And other than that, I just kind of follow Lori and Debbie around the United States.
He is our number one. He's our number one fan on Wine for Bet Street. Yay! And I am your host, Lori. My husband and I own Dracena Wines in Paso Robles, where we specialize in Cabernet Franc. And I am a WSET Level 2 graduate, champagne specialist, and psalm service. And Susanna is joining us right now.
How are you?
And hi. Susanna, I'm going to throw you right into the fire because we were doing introductions. And I just finished mine, so it is up to you. Introduce yourself.
Okay. Hi, I'm Susanna Gold. I am currently New Jersey-based, but I really live in New York. I am a wine writer and blogger. I also do marketing and PR in the wine space. I have a company called Vigneto Communications. I'm very focused on Italian wines, but I like a lot of other wines too, but Italy is kind of my sweet spot.
But yeah, so Susanna is my introduction to Lagana, and I need to yell at her for that because now I'm like a Lagana fiend. And
aren't they great? Aren't those such great wines?
Nobody said what they were drinking, so I'll start it. I opened up a Villa Maria Sauvignon Blanc.
I got a Sauvignon Blanc too.
All right, Debbie and I are always kind of on the
same. Yeah, I have a Anfield single vineyard Sauvignon Blanc from Marlboro.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, I know I'm breaking rules. I know I'm breaking rules by bringing something like this to the party, but this is a sangria. It's pre-mixed. All right. And I think that it's a great way to say goodbye to 2020 because I didn't have a lot of real wine.
All right, sounds good. Michael, are you drinking tonight?
Yes. I'm kind of with Maria being a rebel. I'm going with Jameson Black Barrel.
And Susanna, what did you go grab?
So I went to grab a wine, an Alta Lange. DOCG sparkling wine from Piedmont. Yeah, it's my first, actually. I've never had one before. And I ordered this. I paid for this. And it's interesting because when I poured it in the glass, it was much darker than I thought it would be because I didn't know what vintage it was. And so it's a 2016 vintage. It's delicious. It's a traditional method sparkling wine from Piedmont. And it's really great, actually. It's really lovely, but I think that they probably don't sell that much of it because when I opened it, the wire around the capsule broke in half, and you know they have a 2016. So I feel like maybe I'm the only person who's bought this wine in years. You know, I'm not sure that 2016 is the latest vintage. And I got a handwritten note from the wine shop. Thank you so much for buying our wines. I thought this. You know, who knows what I embarked on, but it's really delicious, actually. It's great. So I highly
recommend. We've had this bottle for so long.
We had this bottle forever, finally, and I bought two bottles of it. So she was probably like, oh, finally. No, I'm kidding. It was brought in by Brian, Larky de la Terra. So he always has great wines, and it's the producer is Enrico Sarafino. This is the wine, and it's lovely, actually. It's really great.
Very nice. All right, so maybe we'll all hit up that store and make their
Yes, year. I got it, I think, at City Wines, which is in upstate New York, I believe.
Okay.
Because I was looking for an Alta Lange and I could not find one.
And Nick, what are you drinking?
So nothing yet because, as you can see, I just ran in from work. but I will be pouring a 2014 Zinfandel from Gergichel's Estate, which is a winery that I used to work for. It's kind of a chilly night. I keep my doors and windows open, so I keep my apartment at about 60 degrees.
Cool. It maintains your skin.
I'm going to get under a little blanket, turn on some Gossip Girl, because the news is just too much right now.
And Robin, what are you having?
I don't have a glass with me now, but shortly there will be some Carhartt Pinot Noir. It's a 2018 from Carhartt Vineyards in Santa Barbara County, but it's actually from River Bench Vineyard, which is up in the Santa Maria Valley. So,
excellent.
Great and juicy and has a really savory nose to it. It's really, we popped it last night, so I'm finishing off the bottle tonight.
Oh, very nice.
All sound delicious.
I don't really ever get that to finish a bottle the next day. No, there's something wrong with Mike and I. I don't know. It just doesn't make it to the next day. So anyway, I just thought that it was a good thing to get together and talk about, as crappy as 2020 was, there were some highlights in there and there was some good stuff going on. And some of the stuff, we had to have had some good wine in 2020. I mean, we probably drank a lot of wine in 2020. But we had to have some good wine. So I was kind of curious. I brought two bottles. They're, of course, empty, that were spectacular or, truly memorable for me. So the first one, and they're both Bordeaux, but my first one is Clerc Mayon. Okay? And it is a 1998 Clerc Mayon. And this wine is very special to me because, I went to Bordeaux for the Melissa May Award, and they were our host, and that was really my introduction to them. And they really are the reason why I fell in love with Bordeaux. Melissa May, getting me there and seeing it in real life really is what made me go from having only California, Washington, and Oregon in my cellar to probably very upsettingly to my husband, now having quite a bit of Bordeaux in my cellar. And this bottle here made me a nervous wreck because this was the first bottle of a true Bordeaux wine that I served to my husband. And with him not enjoying the credit card bills now that he gets for a Bordeaux, I was a nervous wreck of serving him this wine, because if he didn't think it was a great wine, I was going to be having a lot more trouble with that credit card bill. But luckily, true to fashion of Clerc Mayon, which is a Mouton, house, it was delicious. It was amazing. And he actually said we should keep this bottle as, we have the special bottles. So he said we should keep it. So I immediately came home because we had it out. I immediately came home and placed a new order for more Clerc Mayon. So that's my first bottle. So do we share some special memories of some wines that we've had in 2020?
I don't have the bottle with me, but I turned 40 in January, and I'm turning 40 again because 2020 sucked. But I had a 1980, my birth year, Chateau Yquem, Sauternes. So that's really, truly the only 1980 that I could
have. Wait, where was I for this party?
yeah, you were not gone. I was social distancing.
That's funny.
Incredible. Like, there's no words to even describe just how honeyed and just rich. I could drink bottles a day. But, again, 1980 was not a great vintage many places, but it was a bottle that truly was extremely special. It was the first, bottle for my birth year that I've actually ever experienced. And so, yes.
Very nice. Very nice. Anybody else have a special wine in 2020?
I have a bottle of 2010 Dom.
Oh, very nice.
It's my first Dom. And I didn't savor it because I didn't want to ruin it. something went wrong.
That's so funny.
Didn't want to take that. It was a gift. It was a gift actually for my birthday, for turning 40. No.
We're all turning 40. We're all 40. We're all 40.
I was going to say, you hit whatever number it is that for you is a big number, and then my politics is like you hit your big number, and then you start going back. So next year or this year, you're 39. So that's the way I work it. Like, got the number that I'm like, all right, that's it, and then I'm going back. So
I really
anyone can
25.
Use that trick.
25
is, you know, but a reasonable number just because, you know your husband for 25 years. Whatever age it is. If 25 works for you, then 25 it is. So next year you're 24.
There you go.
Life was simple then.
Yeah. My grandmother always used to, like when she was 60, she was, you know, she was 60. But then when she went to 61, she was 16. And when she was 62, she was 26.
Oh,
and,
whichever
way
made
too.
It.
That's cute, too. I like that.
Little, you know, my grandmother was a clever little woman. But yeah, so very nice, Dom. And yes, I wouldn't have sabered that one either. You always have that moment where everything can go boom, and it would be a shame if that one went boom.
Don't want that to happen.
Who else?
For me, I mean, I'd already brought up my joke about my, you know, pre-mixed sangria, but we, like I said, we've been in Costa Rica this entire year, and it is possible to place orders for wine from the capital, from San Jose, where the wine shops are. And we did that when we first got here in January. We ordered a case of wine from one of the wine shops, and we had our pick of the wines that we wanted, and we were supposed to leave in March, like I already said, and so by March, those 12 bottles had come and gone. And from that point on, we've been drinking every grocery store wine that there is. I mean, and it's definitely, you know, it's disappointing. It's grocery store wine. There's no wine shops. Most of the grocery stores don't even have climate control. So it's hot, it's 80, and so is your wine that you're buying from the grocery store. So, around the fall, we were, moving from one part of Costa Rica to another, just so we could mix it up a little bit because we were bored. And we found a wine shop and we bought a French bottle of wine and an Italian bottle of wine. And I went on Vivino today because, I don't know, I'm paying with foreign currency and I don't really know how much the wine was. So I looked on Vivino and I found out that one of them was an $11 bottle of wine and one of them was a $12 bottle of wine. And I was like, but why were they so good then? Because, I don't know, I think it was just the excitement that I got something from France and something from Italy, and it really didn't matter that they weren't top shelf or whatever. I mean, they were the Italy one, I could taste cinnamon and raspberry, and I was like, ooh, this is exciting. And the French one was a Bordeaux, definitely nowhere near as fancy as yours, Lori, but I, too, drink wine on the second day, like Robin had mentioned. And on the second day, the Bordeaux really opened up, and it was awesome. And I was just like, oh, thank God. And those two bottles were gone, and I was already in my new place back to getting grocery store wine. And I was like, all right, well, there we go.
But, you know, Maria, that's like an excellent point, is it doesn't have to be a $100 bottle of wine to be good.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
I mean, I've had plenty of $10 bottles of wine that I mean, that's just awesome if you can get a $10 bottle of wine that drinks like a $30
right.
or $40 or $50. Yeah. Not so
right.
good if you do it the other way around, where
the
$50 bottle that drinks like that.
Right.
But, you know, it's that's awesome, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, I enjoyed them.
That's good.
There you
that's
go.
That's good.
That's what counts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? When people say, oh, you know, like $2 chuck or, you know, and I'm like, you know what? If you are happy with $2 chuck, kudos, man,
yeah,
because
exactly.
your wallet is doing a lot better than my wallet is.
Right, right.
You know, that's you got to drink what you like and don't let anybody tell you anything different. And a price tag should definitely not tell you it's
right.
a good wine or a bad wine, you know.
Yeah.
I got introduced to Graham Beck sparkling wines from South Africa
this year.
Oh, they're
great. Yeah, they're really good. Really good.
Really good. Gus actually brought a bottle into the restaurant because that's what we did in the kitchen is we drank every night. But, you know, it's like a $12, $13 bottle of wine, and I was really, like, impressed with it.
Yeah, they're really good. I like the rosé. I like all their wines.
Yep. We have the rosé, really the regular. Yeah.
Now I'm going to make a note. You said it's Graham Beck?
Graham Beck.
Debbie, I'm blanking on who.
They're from South Africa.
The Tasmanian sparkling that we.
Oh, I remember that. Over. That was good. I haven't been able to find that.
That's only like $15 a bottle when you can find it.
Hey, Robin, did you have a special wine? Some wine? When you mentioned Tasmania, I had a wine that's from a winery that is both in Tasmania and in the Southern Highlands in Australia. And we were able to go. We went to the Wine Media Conference last year. Last year doesn't really count though. in Australia, and kind of explored the whole. The Southern Highlands region, Shoalhaven Coast, and all around the Hunter Valley and areas like that. But we went to a winery called Tertini, and they grow some stuff in Tasmania. They've got several places there, and then also in the Southern Highlands. We had my unicorn wine for the year was a barrel fermented Arnis, and it was just beautiful. They're at high altitude there where they are in the Southern Highlands, so it's a high altitude vineyard, and we got to go out to the vineyard, the Yarndu Vineyard, where they grow it. But with that barrel fermentation, and the winemaker, Jonathan Holgate, this was his baby, because it was the first vintage that he had done the barrel ferment with it, and it was just really stellar. It had such lovely texture to it. And so we had a bottle of that, but of course that was a suitcase bottle that we were able to bring back. So I don't have a line on how to get another one at this point in time.
But that sounds incredible. And
it does.
I think wine is so emotionally bound, and you know, like you can go to a tasting and just the environment that you're in can make such a impression on you that the wine, and then the next time you taste it, you're brought right back to that memory. And I think that's an amazing thing about wine.
Well, and being able to see where it's being grown and where it's being produced and talk to the winemaker and understand his passion, that's unfortunately, even when you go to a tasting room, sometimes it's not always there, but to have that experience, that's incredible.
Yep.
Right.
Always makes it taste better when you know who made it and you get to see the place it comes from.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is why we do our tastings in the vineyard.
There you go.
But and it's the name came. It's Jansz, Jansz, is the Tasmanian sparkling, and like I said, it's like $16-$17 for it. And Susanna, you can get it at Wine Chateau.
Oh, okay, good to know. I was just looking for a pen where I am. I have a crayon near me. I guess I could
that
write.
That works.
Sitting at my son's, you know, remote school desk, sitting on like a chair for a 6-year-old. What was it called?
Jansz. J A N S Z.
J A N S Z.
Yes.
J A N S Z. Okay. Thank you.
And, yep.
I love sparkling wine, so I will definitely do that. Yeah, it is great.
I feel like more sparkling wine during this pandemic than I've drank.
A positive of 2020. I think that people realized, what are we waiting for? That, like, just make every day a good day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I thought it was pretty cool to the cellar and just grabbing whatever, even if it was a expensive bottle, you know, oh, I'm going to save that. No, we're going to drink this now because...
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. Tomorrow's not guaranteed.
Right.
I had a really good Pat Green or Patricia Green Pinot last night.
Hmm.
It was really, really good. And I'd have to go to the recycle bin to get the detail on it. I think I could take a picture of it.
So, Michael, I'm gonna go to you, Michael, because although I did not have the opportunity to get the private tour of the cellar, thanks to COVID, the cellar is incredible in pictures. So I know you had something special in 2020.
Well, yeah, I had about, well, because 2020 was an off year, I only had 1,200 special wines.
I love, Michael, how you have it mapped out on what you're drinking for the whole year.
Oh, yeah. I just,
that to me is incredible.
Yeah, Michael sends us, Debbie and I, a picture every January or an email every January of the wines he is going to drink in the next year.
That's amazing. Do you also plan what you're going to eat for a year?
No, but about a week in advance.
A week in advance.
Yeah, and then we pair the wine.
What kind of tools do you use for this level of planning of your life? Just like an Excel spreadsheet? No, seriously, because I'm always looking for, like, what tools to use.
It is not an Excel spreadsheet.
It must be very complicated.
In addition to that. So.
But that entails opening, that entails opening 3 bottles of wine a day?
Yeah.
Michael is retired.
True, but I hope you have a lot of friends or neighbors or a big family. That's a lot of wine to open every day.
Like I said at the beginning, I thought this was the AA meeting.
You mean it's not? I thought that was too. It's not the AA meeting.
And but, Michael, I'm pretty sure you can get pulled over for drunk driving a golf cart.
Yes, you can. But some of the ones that were just outstanding, your typical 2009 O'Shaughnessy Mount Vidier, the 2018 Terminum Chapaz d'Or, Donald Pats company, and it's 50% Roussan, 50% Marsan.
Yum.
Yeah, and that's just delicious. Kind of a surprise was 10 Brick Petite Syrah, which was a 2016, and that's, Lori, that's Amber's friend from Fairfield.
It's 10 Brick? Sassoon Valley?
Yeah, it's Sassoon Valley. It's 10 Brick
Petite
Syrah. And 10 Brick is their father's wine.
Oh, okay.
Lisa Tenbrick's father's winery. And then on the lower side, I think there's some really interesting ones on the lower side. And those would be like, now you guys are going to help me on the spelling of this, but I had a 2019, or the pronunciation, a 2019 Acquiesce Bourblanc?
Yeah.
Bourblanc.
Or is it Bourblanc?
Bourblanc.
Which is
Bourblanc.
Yeah.
And that's Susan Tipton.
Yeah. This stuff is good. I was there up when I was in Lodi.
Tell me about the flavors on that, because I actually had one recently from Tablas Creek, but it was their very first vintage, and they're still kind of going, what's this going to be? So I'm kind of anxious to see what it is from other places.
So yeah. I'm sorry, Michael, I'm just going to throw. So yes, that's funny, because Jason Haas is talking about that, and that's exactly how he's describing it. He's like, this is our first vintage of this, and we're, we don't really know what it's going to do or how it's going to develop. And so we're just kind of letting it do whatever it's going to do and learn from vintage to vintage. And they only made like 50 some odd cases. Like, how did you, I couldn't get my hands on. How did you get your hands on that?
I'm in the wine club. I won't ever stop being in that wine club. I adore Tablas Creek. And I love that I can taste all of the Rhones and taste the individual varietals this way, because I find it so fascinating to be able to see what the different varieties taste like and then see where they're going in the blends. So, yeah.
And what did you guys say the name of that grape is?
Bourblanc. B-O-U-R-B-L-A-N-C. R-B-O-U-L-E-N-C. Is that right?
Yeah, L-E-N-C-E. L-E-N-E.
Orbelong. Okay.
Orbelong. Yeah.
So I think it's more occasions than it is.
True.
Special wines.
And I think that 2020 has shown that to everybody in a general sense is we need more occasions and we need to make our own occasions now. If you are part of a nonprofit organization or know of a nonprofit organization that would like to hold a fundraiser, please contact us at contact@dracinawines.com or visit our website, dracinawines.com, to fill out the form. How does the fundraiser work? It is super simple and costs your group absolutely nothing. Together, we will choose a month that your group will be sponsored. During the month, you promote the fundraiser just like any other event you'd hold. At the end of the month, we will donate 20% of the sales to your organization. The donations will be made in the name of each individual who purchased the wine so that you know exactly who helped the animals. Our goal is to raise as much funds as we possibly can and to help as many animals as possible. So please help us help as many fur babies as we possibly can. You know, so with that, as an instruction, so how did we kick 2020 to the door? Before non-wine things, does anybody have a New Year's tradition? So, like, for example, the Irish in me, right, at New Year's, we open the door to boot the old year out and to welcome the new year in. That's what we do. And does anybody have any traditions that they do for...
The pretend Italian that I think I am, I eat loads of lentils on New Year's Eve because it brings money for the coming year. So I eat loads of lentils.
All right. And I guess that's similar to the black-eyed peas. I had never heard of this before, and it was a big thing this year. Everybody was talking about black-eyed peas.
I don't know this about black-eyed peas.
The only black-eyed peas I do is the band. Like,
right. What is this about black-eyed peas? Do black-eyed peas bring luck and...
Too? They bring luck in the new year, yeah. So you're supposed to eat black eyed peas. I think it's on New Year's Day, right? Rather than New Year's
Day. New Year's Day with pork. And that was the first time I've heard of it, but New Year's Day, you're supposed to eat pork.
My husband does the New Year's Day pork. His family says that you're supposed to do, like right after the strike of midnight, you're supposed to eat pork. And one year, I don't know when it was, probably, I don't know, 8 years ago or something, we were, like, searching the street, trying to find, like, a street vendor with a sausage or something. Like, it's past midnight, we have to find some pork. But we ate it before midnight this year. We had some sausage. And the recipe or, you know, the way that they call it here, they call it choripan. And it's chorizo in bread, and then we put chimichurri on it. And, oh, my God, we made all of it. We ate it at, like, I don't know, 8 o'clock, and it was awesome. So I've heard of the pork one, but I don't know about the lentils or the black-eyed peas.
Well, the lentils are supposed to be eaten with something called cotechino, which is like a sausage weird thing that the Italians eat, which I don't eat. I like pork, but I don't like cotechino. So I think it's probably the same kind of a tradition. Lentils and cotechino as black-eyed peas and pork in America. That's interesting.
Right.
Nobody's Spanish that does the grapes? I have a good friend who is from Spain, from Madrid, and they do the grapes where you have to eat them as the clock in Madrid is ticking down, so you have to shove your face full of, like, 12 grapes and eat them all.
Wow.
I was, and she does this through Zoom with her family, and I always found that fascinating.
That's funny.
So, that's hysterical.
I've heard of that one, too.
Yeah.
It's 12 grapes?
12 grapes, as the clock is.
Because we're in Costa Rica, I was reading about Costa Rican New Year's traditions, and it said that the grapes thing happens here also. I have a Puerto Rican friend who used to tell me about it. But it took it even one step further, and it said that after you eat the 12 grapes, you're supposed to count how many seeds were in the grapes and then play that in the lottery.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay, that's a lot of complexity right there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's too much. That's way too
much.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a new tradition, not an old tradition.
Sorry. So I'm kind of laughing that, like, us Irish people are, like, we've got the most simplistic one. Just open a door, boot out the old year, bring in the new year. Like, yeah. Michael, do you do that?
No, I can't find the door usually at midnight. I know, it's a standing
midnight,
tradition.
Right after the ball drops, I call my California friends and wish them happy new year. Although I did that, you know, this has been going on for like over 25 years, but this year it was 1 o'clock. I got off the phone with Patty, went to sleep, and at 3 o'clock my phone was going off because they're all texting each other happy new year because their ball dropped. Yeah. I'm like, damn, I gotta remember to turn my phone off.
I have to say, as a New Yorker, New Jersey, you know, from East Coast, it's very funny to watch New Year's now, like here in California, because, like, everything is still so New York-esque, you know, like you're watching the ball drop and the whole party is New York, you know, which if anybody has, I highly recommend going to New York City. I'm probably the only person on the face of the earth who says this, but you have to do it once. There's two things in your life you have to do. One is Thanksgiving Day Parade. Right? You have to go experience the New York Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
And then two is you have to experience New Year's Eve in New York City. And then you can die a happy life. And then you never, ever want to do those ever again. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you'll never want to do it again. But you want to.
Yeah.
Those are two.
What I learned from the Thanksgiving parade is some things are better watched on your TV. Yeah, when we went to the parade. We had fun. We had a great time. But some things are just better watched on TV. That's one of them.
Oh, yeah. The parade sucks in real life.
I stayed at my grandmother's, but we walked down to Times Square. We left at like whatever 7:30 in the morning, and
being in Costa Rica, we don't have like ABC on TV to turn on or whatever. Like we don't, you know, everything is online here. And, you know, luckily everything is streamed and on YouTube and whatever. We are currently Central Time, but for part of the year we're Mountain Time because Costa Rica, well, they don't change their clock, but in relation to any of you, my time changes. But we're Central Time right now, and so I found the Times Square New Year's Eve thing on YouTube at whatever the time was here, I don't know, 10:52 or something, so that I could watch the ball drop and see it all. And I don't know how many other people watched it this year, but it was definitely anticlimactic. And I don't know if it was because it was the online version or what, but like it struck midnight, and then you saw all these people in like corrals, like dancing, and there was only like two people, and then. That was it. Like, I mean, I lasted maybe a total of 8 minutes, like, watching it online, and I was like, all right, well, that was fun. I'll wait until 9:00 and see what happens here, but I don't know.
Thought it was really nice, because all of those people that were cornered off or whatever, first of all, they all were wearing their masks, but they were all first responders. The only people
who
were
there
were all first responders, and I thought that was a beautiful... Like, thank you. I mean, as somebody, a New Yorker, you know, like, it is amazing to be there. And I thought that was a nice thing. I don't know. But anyway, we are almost at our hour. We didn't do too much wine drinking. I'm actually still on my first glass, which is like a rarity for me. But does anybody have What did you guys drink? Just go around and tell me what you drank on New Year's. What did you start with? What did you end with? Did you go through multiple? I mean, Michael's like, oh, my God, I had like 20 bottles.
yeah, I'm pulling up my picture on the phone.
Robin, what did you start New Year's with?
We were Prosecco all night. That was basically what we had. So we had some beautiful DOCG wines from Prosecco that we were drinking. December was kind of a Prosecco month for us. That was where, and I'm an equal opportunity bubbles lover. I love them all. I love champagne. I love cava. I love the sparkling wines coming out of South Africa are pretty spectacular. So, but Prosecco is what we had in our glasses. So,
very nice.
Yep.
Very nice. Debbie, what did you start with?
I don't even remember. I'm looking on my phone. I never took pictures.
Oh, no.
Happy New Year.
Well, I know I started with Piper Heidsieck, and then we went to Cayuse, which is what we pretty much always have on a whatever day, a good day. And there was a white in between there, but I don't remember what white it was. But Nick, what did you have multiple?
I was by myself, but I started with Schwarzburg Blanc de Blanc, and then I went to Swanson Merlot, which is my new favorite go-to Wednesday night Merlot.
Swanson, okay.
It's out of Napa Valley, so it's in Rutherford. The bottle, it's $32, so it's priced very reasonably, especially with an industry discount. It's like $23, so that's my house wine. I know that sounds really tone-deaf right now, but, it's for $23, it's such a beautiful, beautiful Merlot, and I may have had a bottle and a half of that, too. Who knows?
I love Merlot, and I don't have enough of it in my cellar, so... I'm going to be kind.
I remember the last bottle I opened was a Chapelet Malbec.
Okay. Chapelet, very nice.
Nick, what was the brand on that Merlot?
Swanson. The founders back in 1985, his grandfather started Swanson Frozen Foods.
Okay, so I was going to be obnoxious and I was going to sing the Swanson song just as a joke, but it's true.
Yeah, so him and his wife started it, and then they sold it to Vintage Wine Estates in Sonoma County a couple of years back.
Oh, awesome.
But it's delicious wine.
Very
Lori, nice. I found my pictures.
Okay.
Oh, show us.
They're on the website. We started out the evening with... two champagnes, one a Moët and Chandon Imperial Brut.
Okay.
And the other one, which I didn't take the picture of, was a, Schwarzburg. And then we had paella, a chicken and andouille sausage paella for the dinner. And so I paired a Crocker and Star 2015 Caselli, which is a Malbec and Cabernet blend. It was 70, from memory, it was 70% Malbec, 30% Cab. And we did a Valdivino, I think it was 2016, it's called Spanish Dragon, and it's basically Tempranillo. And we wanted to see which paired best with the paella, and it turned out Crocker and Star was the winner on that one. And then we went to I opened up Buccella, a 2010, and that's the one that there's this controversy whether it was Philippe Malka was a consulting winemaker or Celia Walsh from Scarecrow was making the wine at that time. And then we went to another Tempranillo, Rundquist Tempranillo, and then that was it. So we only had six.
How many people were you?
Huh?
How many people were you?
Four.
Okay.
Oh, okay. No, that's not bad at all.
No,
that's
but we still couldn't. I still couldn't open the door.
There were four people there, but one drinking.
Yes.
It's always nice to have three non-drinking friends.
There you go. Excellent. Hi. Well, I'm so happy that we got together at 2021 to kind of give the final kick out to 2020. And thank you for sharing some of your favorite wines. Always love to hear what people have as suggestions so I can add them to my list to try. But as you know, you're not allowed to leave Wine Writers Write-Up without wrap up without a riddle. So here we go. Are we ready? This one, I think, is pretty simple. And I thought it was cute. Okay. Why are hyenas the healthiest animals?
Because they laugh all the time?
Kind of along that way, right? Because laughter is the best medicine.
Nice.
Laughter is the best medicine. And I think that the one thing that we have to keep in mind as we bring in 2021 and get rid of 2020, is we need to be able to laugh.
Uh-huh.
Right? We need to smile. We need to laugh. We need to enjoy what we have in our life right now. So I will raise a glass to all of you, and thank you for joining
me. Mine's empty.
Yeah, mine's kind of empty. I've got like a drop left. Okay. So I will raise a glass to you, and I will say slancha. And thank you very much for joining me. Okay.
Sure.
And happy New Year, happy 2021, and I
happy
hope
New Year.
To see you all in real life soon.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Happy New Year, bye. Everyone. Nice to meet you all.
Happy New Year. Nice to meet you too.
Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
No.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoytbud. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to help others find me more easily. And most importantly, tell your wine-loving friends, because if you like the podcast, they will too. Music is Wine by Kevens. Until next week, slancha.
You are special, very, very special. You are so special, even in the Bible. Water got turned right into wine, so you and I can feel divine.